Hi there. Welcome to this week's episode of podcast with me, Russell Davis. This week, we're going to reflect on the question, do you feel held? I was asked that question recently by my acupuncturist, and it really made me stop and think. So this episode, we're going to unpack that, some of the reflections I had on that question, and help you feel held on this journey. If you like the podcast, remember to subscribe so you get future updates, and please do rate or review as it helps people find the podcast and share their love. Loving you. My acupuncturist asked me a question the other day that really made me stop and think. It really took me aback. I'm not going through a particularly tough time right now and life feels pretty good, but she still asked the question, do you feel held? And I wasn't expecting that question at all, and it really made me stop and think. And to be honest, my initial answer was no. And as I thought about it, I know that, and I've been busy the last few weeks, and one of the things that has gone out of my routine is my morning, I call self-creation time. I just meditate and do some Kundalini yoga and have some nourishing time. And it's in that time I really feel connected to the oneness of life. It really kind of enlivens and enriches me, like other things do, like going for a run. But I've been conscious that that time has slipped out of my day recently, and I was just conscious of that. So I said to my acupuncturist, I know I don't feel particularly held right now, and I think it's my fault because I'm not spending enough time just stopping and being and feeling held. I know that. The energy behind life loves me and it's got my back, but sometimes I think I'm too busy to really stop and feel it and acknowledge it. And even then, she's a very wise woman. She picked up the fact that she found it interesting and she thought it was my fault that I didn't feel held. And again, that just knocked me. I just made me stop and think, and it was interesting straight away. I could feel like I was a little boy, and growing up with a mother who suffered from anxiety, became an alcoholic. It's easy to think that it's a child is easy to think it's their fault if they don't feel loved. I did that little boy kind of came out in that moment as she said that. That is my go-to. Until it's my fault that I don't feel held. And she said, maybe you need to think about who is holding you, maybe lean into that support a little bit more, be okay of asking for support, asking to be held. And I'm not sure to share this story before, I think I have, but it reminded me a couple of years ago when I was swimming in a lake with some friends. It's an organized open swimming center. I'm not the strongest of swimmer, I can swim, but it just completely threw me. It's a particularly windy day. I swim in the sea, no problem. But in the lake with the wind, the kind of waves and the water it was very different. I was getting a lot of water in my face, I was swimming a lot of water, and it just completely threw me. And actually, you know, reeds wrapping my legs. I started having a bit of a panic attack in the middle of the lake. And when I swim in the sea, you know, I go out of my depth, but I'm never that too far away from getting back into my depth. You can swim a long way just out of your depth in the sea. And I found myself, you know, in the middle of this lake and a long way from any buoy or the bank. And I was with a friend and they called for help, and these other swimmers came over and they got me on my back and calmed me down and just literally held me in the water. And it felt really uncomfortable, but also at the same time, it felt amazing to be loved in that way by complete strangers who were just nothing but loving and kind. I thought I'd get a telling off when I got out. I shouldn't have got in if I didn't want such a strong swimmer. But everyone there was so kind and loving and encouraging and wanted me to get back in the water. And said it was particularly windy, unusually windy, which didn't help. And it made me realise, actually, yeah, sometimes I don't ask for help. But what stops me asking for help? What stops me not feeling held? What stops me from feeling held when that love is there? I know the energy behind love is there. I know my wife loves me. I think one of the things is that I know I can get into the habit of seeing where I'm not being loved rather than where I am being loved, particularly my wife. And we all give and receive love in different ways. There's a great book called The Five Love Languages. And I mean, I used to be a Christian. I think it's written by a Christian. Unfortunately, I think it's wrapped a lot of Christian stuff around it unnecessarily, which can put people off. But the core message is absolutely fantastic. And we tend to give love in the way we prefer to receive it, which may not be the way our partner prefers to receive it. It's one of my primary love languages, touch. But touch is not my wife's primary love language. Growing up, in her environment growing up, touch was quite harsh and violent. So often we can see where we're not being loved and not acknowledging where we are being loved. And that's the nature of the way our brain works. We filter stuff. We don't take in everything around us. There's a great example of this. You can see this on YouTube. There's a video where there's a test where there's two teams throwing a basketball between them. There's a team dressed in black and a team dressed in white. They're intermingled and they're passing the ball between each other amongst their team. And you're asked to count how many passes the white team do. And as you're doing that, you're counting. You get to the end of the video and it says, did you see the gorilla? I mean, what gorilla? No gorilla. Just two teams passing a basketball between each other. And you play it back. And in the middle of it, someone dressed in a gorilla suit comes on into the middle of the screen, waves at the camera, then moves away again. Because you're focused on looking at the white team, the team dressed in white, you just don't see it. And it's the same with sounds. Another example of that where you another test like that is you find it on the internet where there's men talking and women talking over each other. The men having a conversation, women having a conversation. You're asked to listen to the women. And so you'll be tested on what they said, and you tune into the women, you don't hear what the men say. When you play it back, again, it's in the middle of that whole track. One of the men say quite loudly, I'm a gorilla, I'm a gorilla, I'm a gorilla, over and over, and you just don't hear it the first time. So we have this kind of signed and sound blindness almost, depending on what we're thinking about. So I'm aware that sometimes I see my wife doesn't love me rather than focusing where she does love me. Yeah, and as a kid, we grow up in an environment where, you know, our parents have their stuff, but as a kid, we don't realise they have their stuff. We think they're perfect, and if we don't feel loved, we just think it's us. And my mum, the way she was, I felt quite emotionally abandoned, really. And as a kid, when you reach out wanting that love and that understanding, that unconditional positive regard from your parents, if you don't get it, it gets quite disappointing and painful. Because that's what love is. You're making yourself vulnerable for that connection. And if you feel let down and hurt, you stop being vulnerable. You kind of, that part of you just almost closes down to protect you from the disappointments and the hurt. So I guess part of me, just stop reaching out, go it alone, it's down to me. And I just don't think about the fact that people around me that really do love me and have got my back and support me. And on this particular journey, when people don't really understand our experience, they say the most unhelpful things. Sometimes it's hard to see, we don't see the intent behind it, the love behind it. And they just don't understand our experience. And sometimes that intent and that love gets lost in the most unhelpful words. Another thing that, you know, stops me feeling held is when I stop investing in myself. I always have a coach or in a coaching program. And it often just still feels uncomfortable spending that money on me. But it's in those spaces I really have someone that really looks at me, loves me, cares for me, sees me. Hopefully my clients see the same in our journey, that they have someone that really loves them, sees them and cares for them, has got their back. And they feel held in our work together, because I definitely feel that with the coaches I work with for me. And sometimes it's quite hard. I found it hard to spend that money on me, to invest in myself, knowing I'm worth it. And knowing that money comes back as a payback in all sorts of ways, including, you know, it can be financial payback. Even though I work on my clients on their fertility journey, the confidence and the worth and the value and the flow that comes impacts all sorts of areas of their lives. So there's always a payback, even sometimes beyond having the baby you want so much and the family you want so much. So that's kind of some of my kind of reflections on that question. You know, do you feel held? And I thought it was an interesting question to share with you and ask you, you know, do you feel held? You know, who's holding you? And what does leaning in to that love and that support look like for you? What does leaning into that? What does asking for that? What does investing in you look like? How can you feel more held on this journey? Because you deserve to be held. Because you are loved. You are worthy. Loving you.